All right, welcome, welcome. You are under the influence with Kool-Aid and Carrillo, and we have a guest in the building today, a big homie. Right. We reached out to him, and he was kind enough to accept our offer to come on the show.
Very fortunate. Happy to be here, man.
Young Noah
in the building, man. In the building,
anytime
man.
Somebody care about me, you know. I don't take it for granted.
Here we go. Already. Okay, good. That's going to be good. A good interview already.
We definitely appreciate you stopping through, man.
Went far, man. I live in Noonan. Y'all ain't too far, like 30 minutes. So
Good.
Yeah. You definitely ain't have to show us no love. But you did. Let's see how low we can get. We going to get lower than the kid. How you been, though? Everything good?
I've been blessed, bro, man. Just got back off the road last month. Had a gig in Canada a couple weeks ago.
What?
Like during the election process, I was but when everything was announced, I was in Canada, and so I was flexing on the ground like I was moving, like I moved there. So I just been having fun, man, with my fans and friends, just you know having some time off from tour, and
yeah,
it's been blessed, man, just to be home and chill.
And relax.
Yeah, for sure.
We know you be on the road every other day.
Man, somehow, man, that song was prophetic. You know, when we made the song, it wasn't really the case.
I was wondering if you were going to catch it.
Speak life.
That boy ready. Very good. Are you from Atlanta?
I'm from Noonan. Noonan is like 35, 40 minutes south of Atlanta. I was born there, grew up there. Close enough to the city, but when I go different places, I just say Atlanta because they're not going to know what I'm talking about when I say Noonan.
So let me ask you this then. Being from Atlanta, do people who are in Metro consider Noonan as country?
Yeah. They never been down that far, so they just assume when you go down that far, it's just nothing. But it looks just like Sandy Springs Marietta or whatever, but it's just on the south side, you know. Like okay. Marietta, coming from Marietta, getting downtown, almost take the same amount of time coming from Noonan to get downtown. So
cool. So then asking you if you eat chitlins is out the question.
Oh nah, it ain't that bad. Most people have drove through there and stopped there maybe on the way back from Florida or something.
Yeah. All right. So you grew up in Noonan.
Yes, sir.
I know that for me, location is everything. Mm-hmm. As far as the influences in your life, you know, I was kind of slow because I picked up rap when I was younger, but okay. I was slow as far as, you know, who I heard and who I was introduced to because of location. I'm from Lake Charles.
Okay.
So I asked that to say, well, when did you start rapping?
I started rapping at the Boys and Girls Club.
Come on.
I think I was 15. Had to be at least 15. I got introduced to the Boys and Girls Club through like a gang outreach program where they was trying to get kids off the street before they got, you know, tricked out.
Yeah.
You know, because the hood I grew up in, it was very like the house I grew up in was a crack house before my dad bought it, you know. And he, you know, my dad was like a carpenter, one of them guys who just does everything. So his plan was to, you know, fix up the house.
Huh.
So I grew up like with addicts knocking on the door, you know, trying to get something.
Right.
And later on, I took advantage of those things. But, you know, at the time, the street I grew up on, it was a very rough street. You know, I was scared to walk down my own street, you know,
what?
By myself. It was that bad, you know, because every little town got their areas you don't, you know, low income areas where you don't really feel safe.
So, about that, though, you said your dad bought the house and then fixed it up. He turned it from a trap house to a livable one.
That's another story. But,
When people came to your house, it was by accident because they thought it was still
they thought it was still that spot. You know?
See, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with that. So when we moved to Atlanta, we moved in Highland Retreat, which is down the road from this house.
Yeah.
In East Point, and the people next door did all the time. So I wasn't familiar with neighborhoods that were that bad. We stayed in some bad neighborhoods, but we would always get people knocking on the door.
Yeah, man.
But they was looking for the next door neighbors.
It's real.
Definitely. Hey, matter of fact, I seen you on Facebook with that Trap Theology shirt.
Okay.
That's y'all?
Yeah, that's us, man.
See, and I thought about it. I meant to tell you to bring me one, and we would have got you for it, but I couldn't remember who.
Yeah,
and I went to the site.
Me and my dude, James, Plain James. But I don't know if y'all know Jay from Wrath and Grace. He hosts the shirt on his site.
Okay.
On his website. So the Trap Theology website, we haven't really created it yet. We just been kind of getting the shirts out.
Through Wrath and Grace.
Dang. Just creating the excitement for it, man.
See, and I should have went ahead and got in your DM and asked you where it came from.
I ain't have none to give you nowhere because homie James really more so the one who handled the shirts and everything.
But cool.
He be rapping hard too in all his videos.
Yeah,
we gonna get him on the 16th end of this month. Oh, yeah. Then we know who to go to. We know who the plug is.
Yeah, he's the plug, man. He's the plug. You know, I don't have time to be, you know, running around with a trunk full of shirts.
Yeah.
You know, I've been moving. James, it was his original idea, but it was we turned our original ministry that was Dirty Work Ministries
into
Trap Theology.
So that's what's up. Okay, now see, I'm fans right now. So I got this idea, but of a mixtape called The Ratchetness of Christ.
Oh wow!
Because that to me, that's what he is in us.
That's crazy.
So, because you get some of Christ, and then but you get a lot of ratchet, you know, so as you being changed. So anyway, that's crazy. Hey, man, I mean, that's really what it is.
I respect it, bro. That's what, like, that's the theology brand.
Right. So that's what I thought about that. Right.
Saved and unsaved, you know, it'll captivate them for a second, and then you might get a chance to tell them something.
That's right. So, what was the first song you ever wrote? Because you said you started off at the Boys and Girls Club.
The first
Blue and
song,
White.
It was probably like a little Boys and Girls Club song. Because when I first started, we couldn't cuss or nothing like that.
Yeah.
So our music had to be positive. So we was making songs about, you know, staying in school, going to college. Songs like that, but I can't remember the exact one. Now when I got saved, when I became a Christian, man, first song I wrote was called Satan Stop Bothering Me. And then I had a song called Lucifer. It was like a remix of Jay-Z song.
Come on. We'd like to have it. That's still on the internet?
Oh, nah. That didn't ever even get recorded.
Oh, you can find it.
Like when I started doing Christian rap, I came out the gate like on some
hunger.
You know, the world by the end type stuff. You know, I've been rapping for a while before I even became a Christian. I've been rapping like 4 years. Mm-hmm. You know, before the salvation experience happened for me. Mm-hmm. So the songs was cool, but I never recorded. I just would write raps to beats.
So we know that, and it's been a minute, but we wanted to touch on it. We ain't gonna touch on it for long. Mm-hmm. But you were on Clear Sight.
Yeah. Flame is the homie, man. Yeah. Shout out to Flame, Clear Sight, Mike Real, B-Rose. You know, she not there no more either, but. Uh-huh. Flame definitely gave me my start for sure, you know, and his that time we had was a blessing. I learned so much.
I bet
valuable information I just would not have known. And then you know he put me out there. He gave me a platform and exposed me to all his fans, and it was
definitely a blessing.
It was a blessing, bro.
Right.
You know, for definitely wouldn't be where I'm at without that.
What'd you take from it though? That's what I was gonna ask when you left. What was like the biggest thing you learned while you were there?
That you got to know when it's time to let go of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like in the industry,
of being a Christian rapper, period. You can't hold on to it so tightly that it becomes your identity. And, you know, you're worried about losing it, you know.
Right.
And it was, you know, he taught me before we even signed. I wasn't going to sign at the beginning because he painted such a negative picture of it. He was like, let me be real with you. Like, this stuff ain't what you think it is. This stuff kind of mess with your mind and your heart. You know, you're going to be competing with people, and you're going to have all these weird emotions going on because, you know, certain people that you were just a fan of are going to become your peers or your competitors.
Your competition, yep.
And then you're going to, you know, people personalities out here just ain't the best. So they kind of prepared me for what I was getting into for sure.
Bruh, that's good. I'm glad because that kind of segue into a question that we've been asking. Well, you're the second. First off, thank you because you're for coming again. You were the second artist we were actually able to get.
That's what's
the
up, first man. With
Mouthpiece.
Glad.
Yeah.
Shout Mouthpiece is the homie. Shout out to Mouthpiece,
man. Yeah.
But going off what you just said, though, about the challenges with being a Christian rapper. Mm-hmm. And you said Flame kind of put you on. We noticed that a lot of times we'll run into Christian artists and we'll hear that they have a bad taste in their mouth towards, you know, the fans, mm-hmm. those that they're supposed to be serving. And we decided, I think even with Mouthpiece, we asked him as well, and we plan on asking everybody when they come on. Anybody hearing this that hadn't come on, just be ready, because we're going to ask you when you come through. But the question is, why do you think that is? Why do you think that we artists have such a bad taste in their
towards their fans?
Yeah.
Because it's not the majority. It's the select few that say dumb stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that simple.
Such as
you'll be on your page and you'll post something, and it's like they'll purposefully confuse what it is you're trying to say. Uh-huh. Just go on this rant. And, you know, I've learned that you have to respond with kindness to some people. And some people just need to just be chumped.
Yeah.
Chumped off.
Oh,
yeah,
chumped. Yeah. I thought you said jumped.
Like, chumped off.
I was like, you got goons.
So one experience, man, I'll just tell you this story real quick. I was pushing my music to a non-Christian audience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, running ads on Facebook, trying to reach people. And this one kid, he commented, he was like, because in my Mothership song, I talked about pornography. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you rapping about porn? What's wrong with porn? It's just porn. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's not that serious. And I was like, so you mean that people can rap about drugs, sex, money, killing folks, being gangsters, and I can't talk about a pornography struggle?
Yeah.
Like, that's wrong in rap?
Right.
And then I just started killing him with kindness. Like, I just started being super nice to the dude. And he was just talking about how bad the song was and how it was trash and this and that. He was just going off.
Yeah.
But I just kept hitting him with kindness. And then I looked and he had deleted his comment. And he ended up direct messaging me saying, man, I'm sorry, man. I used to be a Christian. I used to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just been going through some stuff. My music ain't really popping like I wanted it to. And he just came clean.
Right.
And he just started sharing all my music. And it taught me that you got to respond to people with the love of Christ.
That's right.
You can't let your flesh get the best of you, even though it's tough.
That's hard.
Now it's funny to me when people say crazy stuff. It used to be like it'll just gut check you. But now I just laugh because I'm like, man, get out of here. You know, you got to have a certain confidence in yourself, knowing that what you're doing is making an impact and people are enjoying it.
Right. That's good. That's good to hear, because coming from you, because I'm almost on the back end. I'm almost waiting for that negative comment. Under the influence, first it's negative. It's coming. It's coming. And how are we going to respond to it?
I know. Brother out y'all getting
Nah.
He got a MacBook. He got a PC laptop. People crazy.
I believe it.
Look at his shoes.
Right.
Awesome. He looks like, bro.
Look at him. He got that tight shirt on. He's
evil. But you know, stuff like that be funny. But sometimes people say stuff that just plain hurt. And he be like,
That's those keyboard warriors, man. Oh, the guys that behind the keyboard.
They can internet ninjas.
Yeah.
Shout out to y'all.
Huh, for real.
Keep holding it down.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I heard, because I was doing my research, mm-hmm. that you did a freestyle on Waito.
That was a long time.
Yeah, that was a minute ago. Yeah.
That was really off the top?
No. Some of it was from a song I did, God Broke Me Down.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of like a song where it hadn't came out yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a song I wrote and I dropped it later on. And it was kind of like the first song I made where I kind of discussed the Flame situation and how that whole situation kind of just broke me down, and God, you know, mm-hmm. restored everything and built me back up and restored my joy, you know.
Yeah. That was up. Okay. So then we see lately this Third Coast.
Is that off the top? See, the thing is with freestyles now, nobody's really freestyling for real. When you talk about freestyling, you talk about battle rapping, mm-hmm. People come into the arena or to the show, and they are the definition of freestyling has changed. Now you got off the top.
Right.
Now that's off the top.
Okay.
Now, freestyling is basically when you're rapping free of style. You know, Lil Wayne came out and said, you know, a real freestyle, there's a difference.
Right.
It's when you can take any lyric and rap it to any beat. And it's difficult to do that because you gotta have your cadence right. You gotta be able to, you know, get your timing right with different tracks. So you call it a freestyle, but it's not really a freestyle. It's more free of style, where you can rap it any kind of way, fast or slow, any kind of beat. Like when people go on what's the dude's
on Sway?
Sway. They're not freestyling. You know what I'm saying? Right. Nobody's freestyling.
See, bro.
You know, yeah.
So the whole time I'm listening to these, I'm like, man, that guy good. How he formulating them words so eloquently, you know, so quick? Because they definitely don't sound all choppy let me wait to drop. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, okay.
You know when somebody freestyling for real? See, now I thought I did. It's not gonna be that good. Now there are some. Even and here's another thing: when people who are really good at freestyling, it's because they've written so much. They can pull from things they've written from different songs so quickly, and it's something you have to practice.
Like Carrillo, you knew that?
It's a
Carrillo's trying to talk like he knew that.
It's like a straight art form, bro. Yeah.
I did know. I mean, it's like Wayne, right?
Yeah.
I don't listen to secular. So I don't really know what y'all.
I don't listen to secular either. But I'm saying that I know good and well that dude has been had bars since the '90s, right? Since Hot Boys. So I know he's pulling out bars. That
he's pulling out bars like the brain. Now some people are good at freestyling, but when it's so good, you have like a lot of metaphors. You have a lot of like complexities to it. You know it's written.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now if somebody just rapping just ABC rap, and it ain't really like, it's cool because they going off the top of the head, but you know it's not gonna be that prolific.
Right.
Freestyling for real. But there are people, man. There are people who nice. I'm not one of those guys.
I've seen a couple of them myself, but
now see.
Yeah.
Now this gonna be me being real.
Okay.
Because it's real, but it's a real dirty question. Really, it's a dirty question.
Yeah.
Because I've heard before that there are Christian artists who don't even write their own, that they got ghostwriters.
Oh, Christian artists? When you have, like, artists who have labels, artists who have teams.
Then they have help.
Like Lecrae, when he puts an album out, he has, like, a team of guys that's, like, helping him produce, come up with hooks. But rappers, we mostly... I'll take a hook from somebody. But your bars are your bars. Now, when you got people in the room and you might be recording something, demoing something out, you may have a person in the room that's going to suggest, you know, maybe you should say that instead of that. Now, you want people like that in the room, but I haven't really heard of any Christian rappers who are just letting people just write their 16s. I haven't heard that, but if that's what's going on, I wouldn't be surprised. I know the mainstream, you know, there's been a lot of that talk.
Yeah,
people are writing, and I know that's real.
Yeah, I know that's real.
Yeah, I mean, when it's all about the money,
it is. But see, why does hip hop is one of those genres where we feel like we have to write everything.
Right.
But all every other genre, like the Newsboys, for instance, Christian, Temporary, they don't write any of their songs.
And their songs, right?
Not any of them,
right?
You know? And a lot of artists are like that. A lot of the mainstream, pretty much, when you go to the mainstream, you're not going to be writing your song.
Yeah,
you're just not. And I guess that's kind of coming into the hip hop world.
I was gonna ask, is that a difference between pop and any other genre? I think it's just solely I gotta write my own when it comes to hip hop.
Yeah, that's just a hip hop thing.
Mm. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, and I guess probably got a lot to do with if you finna claim you from the streets and you know the streets, then you.
Yeah, hip hop is just has a certain authenticity. That's what hip hop thrives on. Is are you being authentic? Is this your real story?
Right.
Are you believable?
Yeah.
But you got people now that are not Christian, but rappers, period. They're actors. Like, Drake is an actor. You know, Drake can get on the track and be anybody, but he's a great actor.
Right.
Yeah.
And you will believe him. So it's kind of like, as an artist, when you're really good, you're believable. It doesn't even mean that your story's like Rick Ross. Rick Ross had the whole world fooled. He still does. Like, he's just a goon. He's not.
Right.
He's so, you believe it. His aura, you think this dude is a goon.
Right.
This dude was that guy. He wasn't.
Yeah. That's crazy.
But we don't care because it still sounds hard. You believe it when he said
he pump you up. Make you feel like I'm hard too.
Like you a kingpin.
Right. Third Coast Freestyle. You came off the top with it. Why'd you write it?
What's his name? Christian rapper Buck Barnabas.
Okay.
So Buck Barnabas hit me up and he wanted to do a song.
Uh-huh.
He was like, "Man, I heard your mothership, blah blah blah. I need a southern sounding track. I need something from that sound because that sound is popping. You know, he's like a New York rapper. And so he hit me up. He wanted something ratchet. He wanted something, you know what I'm saying? Something in Atlanta. Sir. And so he sent me this beat, this Drake sounding beat. And so when I wrote the song, I wrote it very quickly. I was almost playing. So when I was writing it, I was just kind of demoing it out.
Yeah.
And then I just got on there and I just spit something. And then I wrote a hook to it, but I didn't like it. And you know, he's a New York rapper. So when I was thinking about him, I was thinking about how, you know, a lot of artists from New York, a lot of artists from, you know,
respect. Yeah, okay, I get what you're finna say.
Southern music. And so, you know, I thought about, you know, Andre 3000 when he was saying, you know, the South got something to say.
Yeah.
You know, and Outkast was like the first Southern group that really were lyricists, you know, really impressed the nation. And so, you know, I shouted out Dre in the song. And I talked about just how people need to respect, you know, what we do down here.
Really,
you know, you got to give us our credit, give us our respect. And now Atlanta is like that hub for hip hop. People come here when they want to be rappers, you know. Come here, but you still not giving us our proper respect.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Got you. Okay. Well, shoes. Tell us about the upcoming drop. Well, oh, I really want to touch on that Young Forever.
Okay.
And how that went. But we'll save that.
Yeah.
We'll save that for the show. We'll get into that maybe on the show. But the slick depression,
man.
Yeah, how that came about, you know.
It came about from depression. You know, I was going through a lot. I had fell into all kind of trickery and sin. I found myself doing things I hadn't done in a decade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I lost myself and during that time, I was on tour. You know, I was on the biggest tour of my life. You know, touring the world. You know what I'm saying?
And was that the Young Forever?
That was Young Forever was already out. All
right.
So when I dropped it, even when I wrote those songs like "Crown You" from the Young Forever EP, it spoke of my experience, some of the things I was struggling with at that time. But a lot of those songs were older.
Okay.
So the "Crown You" song was the first one I really wrote that addressed what I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. And it barely made the project. So when Young Forever dropped, that's when I was kind of going through my stuff.
Yeah.
And so so some of the songs didn't make Young Forever.
Uh-huh.
You know, some of the songs I wrote after that, some of the songs were too dark, I felt, for the Young Forever EP.
Right.
Because I was trying to target a different audience with that project. And so I just took the songs that I wrote during the time I was struggling and I just put them on a CD. And that's what this album is. It's all these songs are old. Like, I probably wrote these songs 6-7 months ago. But they all had a certain theme because I was dealing with certain stuff. So it's a very reflective project that just talks about unhappiness, depression, bad situations, people doing you wrong, getting slighted.
Even in Christendom? In general.
I'm one of those guys where I'm gonna love you regardless. Like, so many people have done me wrong in the industry, in the Christian hip hop industry.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even care. It's like, when I see you, I'm gonna say what's up. I'm gonna shake your hand. You know, I'm not gonna talk about you behind your back. You know what I'm saying? But I know what you said.
But you'll
never know. I know.
Right.
I just know you just get put on that list. Of,
He's
not one of the guys.
Right.
I got my list of guys I don't rock with, but the world will never know. My platform, I'm never going to announce to my platform, hey, everybody, don't rock with this guy. Let that man grow. Let that man change. Let that man, you know, I don't know what he was dealing with when me and him had a bad experience.
That's good.
So I got to cover my brothers in Christ.
Yep.
Even when they do shady stuff.
That's good, man. That's definitely a good look.
You actually come off as that type of individual too. That, you know, humble.
I've been through real stuff, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've been through real problems. You know what I'm saying? When you've been through real situations, you're not. I'm not gonna let no petty gossip.
Get
to me, man.
Salute that.
I've had people trying to kill me before. You know what I'm saying? Like real problems with people. Like you're just running your mouth because you just probably hating or you jealous. Are you just insecure?
Yeah.
You know, grow, change.
Yeah.
Develop.
Yeah.
We'll meet again. It might be different next time.
That Amen, bro.
So how on the album? It's probably the last thing we're gonna say about that. But is there? Do you come out of it? Do you offer any hope in?
Yeah, the last song resolves. Cause my friend hit me up and he was like, "You put out this Mothership and it was very dark. It was very,
bruh, that Mothership was hitting.
It
so
goes
very,
hard like, though.
But you didn't really offer the solution."
Uh-huh.
And so the last song on the EP kind of delivers the solution to the whole situation.
That was up.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, I guess, later. But
okay,
it was cool. The last song on that mug is
it goes
it's a song about the Holy Spirit. It's a song about the Holy Spirit filling you, and guiding you, restoring you.
Mm-hmm. And, I might need
and
that
the Spirit being the only way you're gonna act right.
Boy,
right.
You need help. You can't do it on your own.
Let him get that today. Let him get that for the show, man. Don't stop playing, man. Hey,
Brian, somebody buy it. Y'all
hey, look, we listen. We gonna at least probably try to buy it for somebody.
Definitely.
Yeah. We'll promote it. We gonna promote. But last couple questions, just generic.
Okay.
Who in the industry would you like to work with, like producer wise? Is there anybody you like, oh yeah, I got to get a beat from them? Secular, not secular. Christian, you know, though. A beat is a beat. You know what I'm saying?
I like Alex Medina. Mm-hmm. I like Joseph Prologeny. I like Dirty Rice. You know, guys like that. I like those dudes, man. I would work with them. JR, you know, I work with him on some more smooth type stuff.
Right.
And I could be working with them, but I like to keep my costs down. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I understand. So do you do your own?
No, I just shop. I shop with different producers. You know, there's a plethora of producers who are
all over the place. Yep.
And I listen to like 1,000 before I drop a project. I listen to at least 100 to 200 beats, and I'll pick 5 or I'll pick 10. You know, so I listen to like so many beats, and then when I hear something, it's just like I will immediately know. I can rock with this track. Then I get it, and I mix and master all my own stuff, and I make my own edits and everything. So it's like a one stop shop with me.
Right,
so
right.
I just shoot the producer some bread. He give me the track, and I touch it up how I want, and we just do it like that. It's very economical.
If that's the way y'all did dirty work. Between you and James.
You gotta talk to James.
We gonna talk to him.
Encourage that brother, man.
Send him on over. We gonna talk to him.
Bring him on over and let him know that was a good project.
Yeah, it was, man.
Really?
Yeah, you know, need for that. Man.
Salute to the Dirty Work project.
James is the guy, man. He about to stunt on y'all this year. Not this year, but next year, like.
Good.
We're going to take that boy to a new height. Man.
Yes. Yeah. So that way, when we have him on the 16th, then he blow up the next year. And we be like, son, we was with you in the beginning.
I know.
Me.
Come back, give us another
interview. You feel me, though? But shoot, man. We appreciate you coming through again, man, on the interview. Bro.
Bless him, bro.
Yeah, definitely.
And, matter of fact, at the end, shout out, you know, where people can find you.
Oh, man. Y'all can find me everywhere. Just Google my name. No, I'm just playing.
Okay.
all my handles on social media are Real Young Noah. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. My website is www.realyoungnoah.com.
All right, man.
One tag.
We appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
You under the influence with Kool-Aid
and your boy Carrillo.
Under the influence. Fill up your cup, y'all. The thirst is real.